Like Vic continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We're expecting another pretty nice day in the Milwaukee area today, but by tomorrow night, the gales of November are expected to pick up and whip a cold rain through the air.
But it probably won't be quite as nasty as this night was 40 years ago. November 10th, 1974 was the day the iron ore ship Edmund Fitzgerald sank in a storm on Lake Superior, killing all 29 aboard. The wreck was, of course, immortalized in the famous song by Canadian musician Gordon Lightfoot.
The ship had local ties in this region. It was named for the president and chairman of Milwaukee's Northwestern Mutual Life Company, which financed the ship's construction in the late 1950s. A few years ago, we spoke with Wisconsin writer Michael Schumacher, author of the book Mighty Fitz, about the fateful day for the Edmund Fitzgerald.
It was going to a little port right outside of a loading dock just outside of Detroit. And it shouldn't have been a very difficult journey, especially for a boat the size of the Fitzgerald. And there was another one following the Fitzgerald that made it through the storm. And the captain of that boat said he had been in storms worse than that one, but never where it was so localized. You could all of a sudden find yourself under total assault in one little area. And apparently what happened, the Fitzgerald had this moment where it had a really bad stretch right when it was near these two islands, Caribou and Michipicoten, which is on the east side of Lake Superior. It's technically in Canadian water. And Bernie Cooper, the master of the ship following the Fitzgerald, watching them on the radar, so he's going in there a little tighter than I want to be, because shoals are notorious for whipping up really bad water.
I think you're right. The shoals there had not actually been mapped since, like, 1918.
Right, and they found a new one, and they're just absolutely certain, at least a lot of, you know, the people, that the Fitz grounded on that shoal, that it, you know, you didn't have a lot of room. You know, you're getting bounced around up and down in these seas. You come down and you hit bottom. It didn't damage the Fitzgerald enough to sink it immediately. But let's suppose it ruptures a few hull plates. And they know that something happened of a dramatic nature right then, because McSorley talked to Bernie Cooper, and he says he's taken on a list. And Cooper says, well, do you have your pumps going? And he says, yes, I do. So he was pumping water out of it that far up. And the problem with the Fitzgerald was that it was a big boat. It couldn't just float into any harbor. And so it really had to make a run to Whitefish Point or nothing. And it almost made it, you know, very close. They had probably an hour, a little over an hour to go, and they would have been safe. And I believe that he thought he was safe to the moment the boat sank.
Well, and at one point in there, he also loses, the Fitzgerald loses its radar. So Bernie Cooper, who's on board the Arthur Andersen, is helping guide him through this.
Right. He was his eyes, so to speak. And it's weird because the storm was just bad enough, it blew out the Whitefish Point lighthouse, too. That wasn't functioning that night. And so they didn't even get, the symbolic encouragement of seeing the light in the distance and going, oh, we're almost home.
At what point then did the world lose contact with the Fitzgerald? You're right, the captain of the Andersen, the Bernie Cooper, got in touch with the Coast Guard when it disappeared, but the Coast Guard wasn't even convinced that a ship that size could be gone.
Yes, well, it's very hard to believe that a ship that size could sink. Believe me, I got a little anecdote to tell you, but I'll answer your question first. It was about 10 after 7 in the evening that the Andersen and the Fitzgerald were on the radio back and forth, and they asked McSorley, how are you doing with your problem? And they were always careful on the lakes not to, you know, say too much because people are listening in. And they didn't want to freak out the families of the people in the Fitzgerald or get the people talking. So we just said, your problem. And he says, we're holding our own. And those were the last words anybody ever heard out of the Fitzgerald. Within 5 minutes, it had disappeared from Bernie Cooper's radar. And so, you know, a big, powerful boat like the Fitzgerald, it seemed impossible that it went down. It was very hard for people to believe that it went down. But the fact of the matter is, it did. It's in two pieces at the bottom of Lake Superior.
Well, and you're right that even though the wreckage was eventually found and extensively photographed, there has never been any consensus as to what actually happened that did the ship in. Why will we never know for sure?
Well, first of all, if you've seen the wreckage at all, and I haven't been down to the wreckage, obviously, but I did go out to Washington, D.C., and I went through their vault of stuff on the Edmund Fitzgerald, and I saw all of these photographs. And that is maybe the most damaged ship I've ever seen. It is unbelievably beat up. It took its final moments were very violent. In all likelihood, it hit the bottom of the floor of Lake Superior while its stern section was still at the surface.
Right, it's like a 700-foot ship, and the lake is 500 feet deep there.
Yeah, and it's real interesting for people that are into math. That's exactly so. It's 729 feet long, and it's in a little over 500 feet of water. Now, they measured the two sections of the Fitzgerald that are still in one piece, the bow section, which is standing upright, and the stern section, which is inverted. They measured that. They come to about 500 feet. 200 feet just accordioned and blew away when it hit the bottom. The math makes you believe also, there are a lot of reasons that you believe, or I do, and a lot of people, I think the majority at this point, that it's submarined. The idea that no SOS was made, I think, disproves the idea that it broke in half on the surface. I've written a book, the Carl Bradley book was about a boat that did just that. And while the boat sank in about 7 minutes, they got out multiple SOSs, and people knew they were in trouble. The Fitzgerald would have had the time, certainly, to send out a mayday message, and they didn't. That suggests to me that this happened in such a sudden way that it took them by surprise.
Wisconsin writer Michael Schumacher is author of Mighty Fitz, The Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Our interview first aired in 2012. The Edmund Fitzgerald sank on Lake Superior 40 years ago today.
And because you'll likely hear enough Gordon Lightfoot today, here's a cover of his iconic song by Portland, Oregon's Dandy Warhols.
The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. Including some terms with a couple of steel firms. When she left fully loaded for Cleveland. The wind in the wild tattletale sound as the waves broke over the railing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. At 7 p.m. the old cook came on deck, saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed ya. But when the captain wired in, he had water coming in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know ya. Water mansions. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario, she takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go as the mariners the Edmund Fitzgerald.